All right, here we are.
Hold on.
There we go. All right, sorry. This damn World Cup game got me. Took me a few minutes to get in here and get set up with that England game. Yeah, that's a crazy little finish there. I think it's still going. I think there's still a few minutes left. Argentina was down 1-0, and I saw they came back and were up 2-1. So Jimmy, I'm working here for a second. I got to do one thing here, and then we can jump into all the fun stuff that's going on in the world today, besides obviously the World Cup. Okay. Hold, please. We're almost there. Yeah, I know. I'm live for a minute. I guess maybe next time I just make everyone wait a minute for me to get totally set up. But hey, I say 5:00. I want to be here at 5:00. So that's it. So let's start right now with a little once upon a coconut. Little beverage to get the show started. I'm telling you, I'm not just saying that. I don't get paid for this. This shit is good. It's so good. All right, so welcome to another show, Chaz Mosh show. I am Chaz, a.k.a. Mosh, of the legendary tag team, the Headbangers. That's right, I said legendary. And this is where we talk wrestling life and everything in between. So let's get started. Let's see, who's in here today? Is anyone here yet? Is anyone here? All right, there we are. Yeah, listen, I have a lot of England fans, and I know what you're talking about. I feel the pain for England fans. Johnny Moss is a good friend of mine, and I know he was voting for England. Some people are just tired of seeing Messi, but, in those two goals that I saw, best player in the world still at almost 40 years old. It's not too shabby for him. But, it is what it is, and it's going to make for a fun finals on Sunday, Spain. I kind of was thinking it was going to be England and France, but looks like it's going to be Argentina and Spain. So it is what it is. World goes round, and I'm sure everyone will be hanging out watching anyway. But here we are. So let me jump into it. As you see, I have this fancy shirt on right here that says Fortunate. Let me do this. Whoop, there you go. Nice hit. That rings high. There's a reason for that. And I want to get into that now before we get into all the other fun stuff that I have on this piece of paper here. So I'm told very often that I'm very lucky. And my answer to that is always, I'm not lucky. I'm fortunate. And the reason I'm told I'm lucky is so I have a lot of opportunities because of things that I do in my life and things that I've done in the past. I get presented with a lot of really cool opportunities. And the big difference in why I say I'm not lucky and fortunate with these opportunities is because of what I've done to earn the opportunities. I do for my regular job during the day. I work for Dex Imaging. I pimp copiers and printers. We sell, lease, and service copiers and printers. We're a nationwide company, and I've been with the company for over 16 years, and we do trips, and, I do a lot with nonprofits because of that down here in South Florida, so I'm always involved in going to events and doing different things like that, and then we get, I earn is the key word here, trips that my company puts out, and it's like a president's club. You got to hit certain numbers to be able to go on these trips, and the trips are tremendous. I mean, they're first class. We went 1 year to the Grand Cayman. We stayed at the Ritz-Carlton, and the owners rented out the entire beach side of the Ritz-Carlton. Everyone had a balcony on the beach. And I've been told I'm lucky because of that. Luck has nothing to do with that. Me being able to go on that tremendous trip has to do because I'm fortunate. I'm fortunate because I earned that trip. It's not where somebody just handed it to me and said, oh, here, you get to go on this trip. So that's why I'm going to get more into it here. And, you know, I was out at my camp and I was out with a few people and we were out riding and some, you know, some things came up about different opportunities that I get, like those trips. Like, for instance, I'm fortunate enough where I'm able to go up to the PC and work with, you know, the kids in NXT. You know, I'm fortunate enough to where I get to do this podcast thing. I'm fortunate enough to be able to have written my book. I'm fortunate enough to be able to do my veteran authority. Hey, Jeff, I see you in there. But all of that stuff came because of other things I've done. So I've earned those opportunities. Luck to me is winning the lottery. There's nothing to it. You buy a ticket. That's it. And numbers are come up. Luck is you're walking. I'll tell you this. There was one time, I was at the casino. And yes, this, I was lucky. I was walking and I looked down and I saw this little shiny thing on the floor and I saw it. I made a beeline for it. I walked, I scooped down, I picked this thing up, I put it in my pocket. I walked into the bathroom. I went into the bathroom, I pulled out, it was a money clip with $200 on it. That's luck. That's not for being fortunate. That's not fortune. Being lucky is based on chance. You have no control over the outcome. It doesn't require preparation or effort. For example, I found the $200. Fortunate, and yes, I wrote this down. I did a little research on this. Fortunate recognizes good outcomes, but also the work behind them. It requires preparation, discipline, relationships, and action. And it also includes gratitude for the opportunities you receive. Example, I'm fortunate because I worked for years, met the right people, and was ready when the opportunity came. Now, let's be honest, there's tons of people out there that have podcasts and sit here and babble, and you know, people listen to them and things like that. I'm fortunate with the time that I put in that I have a little bit of a, and I say a little bit of a social media following. I'm fortunate and happy right now that on this Instagram thing, I don't know, what do I see? 10 people in here? Okay. But, you know, I'll take it. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that makes me, in my mind, fortunate. Luck hopes for opportunity. Fortunate creates the opportunity. I believe people become fortunate by showing up, working harder than everyone else, staying prepared, building relationships. Relationships is huge. Remaining grateful, saying yes to opportunities, continuing after you have setbacks. And then when opportunity arrives, for me, people say, I do all of these things. And when an opportunity presents itself to me and I accept it, people go, you're so lucky. You're always so lucky. You have your camp. You're so lucky to have. I'm fortunate to have a camp. I work my ass off for my camp. I build my camp. I work on it every time I go out there. Luck has nothing to do with that. You know, they say you're lucky, but they never saw the years it took for me to become fortunate. And, you know, I'm going to throw that out there. So for me, fortunate is an adjective. Prepared enough to recognize opportunity, but grateful enough to appreciate it. So the reason why I say this all this to you is one of the times I was out at my camp, and again, there's a group of us and some things came up that I have gone on, and the guy looks at me and he goes, you're so lucky. And I said, no, I'm not lucky. Luck has nothing to do with it. I'm fortunate. And I started going through all these things with him that I just rattled off now. And he looks at me, he goes, but your shirt says lucky. I happened to be that day wearing a Lucky brand shirt. I love those shirts. It's not even so much what's on the shirt. The shirts are just so soft and comfortable. I love the shirts. So I looked at him and I made a joke. I go, fine, next time I come out here, I'm going to have a fortunate shirt on. And this, with the way my brain works, got all kinds of things moving. And I thought to myself, like, I got to find, you know, a cool looking fortune shirt. Why scour? Couldn't find it. I looked on Amazon, there's some fortunate shirts that say fortunate on it, but nothing cool, nothing that really meant anything. So me being me and doing what I do, I said, you know what? There's something here. So I'm running with fortunate. I've created some different designs, and some of them are on Amazon now. If you go to Amazon and you put in fortunate shirts, you know, a bunch, there's a couple of these on there. There's ones with the, what do you call it on it? The Japanese Chinese symbol with fortunate written in there. And, you know, I just kind of put it out there just to get them to have some of my own shirts that I can wear and promote and talk about, but, and also for other people, you know. But then it really, the biggest thing is what hit me. I like to live fortunate. Fortunate to me is a mindset. So now I'm working on different things with all of this in mind. You know, like I said, I have some shirts on Amazon. I'm working on some different designs, and it's not just a shirt company. It's going to be a mindset. And there's so much about it. I don't want to go too much into it right now than what I just kind of did. But, you know, it's not, I'm not making a whole brand. It's not about just shirts, it's about a mindset. It's a way, to me, it's kind of a way of life. And I'm going to try to expand on that. I don't know how exactly, but I'm definitely going to do something with it. I don't know if it's more books. I don't know if it's a, I hate using the word vlog. But, you know, some more is going to come up, but there's a lot more. But again, there's going to be more shirts coming, more designs. I'm working, you know, on those. But again, if you go to Amazon, you can go on there and there's some shirts like this. There's a couple of, like I said, the Japanese symbol on there with the word fortunate's in there. You know, at the end of my podcast, every time I say, do whatever makes your heart happy, just don't suck at it. That's kind of the same thing. It's another mindset. it's another mindset. So just keep a lookout for it. Keep a lookout out for it. Look out for it, whatever that, however that saying goes. But yeah, so you see me wearing some fortunate shirts again. Some more things coming with it. And yeah, so it's going to be fun. I enjoy it. I love getting creative with stuff like that. And then, you know, someone else, you know, kind of like my, when I wrote my cancer book, Beneath the Scar, I wrote it to help maybe one person. So this is kind of the same thing. You know, it's a mindset. If it can help one or two people, great. If it can't, great. Either way, I have fun doing it. And if someone wants to go get a shirt that says fortunate on it, then you can go to Amazon right now. But again, I'm working on some different things. And we'll see where it goes. So that's it. That's about that. All right. We got any questions before we jump into Raw here? Or what do we got in here? No questions, no comments. Cat D 999-2020, I'm guessing game's over. And Argentina went over there. I mean, we'll see if they go back to back. All right, so no comments there. All right, so we'll switch gears. We'll talk a little Monday Night Raw. And Andrew Copenhaver, thank you. Michael, hey, Tom, what's up? Lenny, what's a good word? Yeah, so Monday Night Raw starts. I see the pattern that's been going on. Seems to be the last few weeks on Raw, it's been Oba or Paul or Brock opening the show, and then you got Roman and Seth ending the show. But anyway, this week it was Brock's entrance, and you know, because the audience is so conditioned, it doesn't matter to me at this point. The way the audience is conditioned, it seems like no matter Hughes music plays, there's a pop. And Brock gets a huge pop, which is expected. Brock comes out, gets a huge pop. But what I found was really funny, after his initial, the initial reaction of Brock coming out kind of died down, the Oba chant started, which I thought was kind of funny. The Oba chant start. And then I said this a couple weeks ago after Brock came out and said, talk shit, get hit. I think I said this to Glenn on our Stage Dive podcast that we do, that it was just a matter of time. I was surprised, but then again, I'm not surprised because Brock wasn't there, but the t-shirt he had on, I think the t-shirt was awesome. It says talk shit, get hit. I thought that was great. So that comes out. He's got the shirt, and then, you know, Paul's got the cops with him and kind of explains why he's got the cops, because there's a restraining order, which we found out after the fact. It really wasn't a restraining order, and we all know they're not real cops. But I thought it was cool. What I'm not a big fan of is when you have, like, security and you have, like, one guy. And I know Oba's, like, really not one guy. He's just he's a beast. And, you know, you got four or five guys, and you have one guy throwing them all around. I thought it was really creative this time how they did it with Oba, when the first security guy came over and Oba tossed him, and then the other two came at him, and then the big boot, and then the way he threw him, I thought, and then he picked him up and then tossed him over the top rope. I thought it was a little more creative than just boom, 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 boom. I thought it was really good. And then it's funny because everyone's been commenting on Oba turning down the title shot. So my question is to you guys that are here, still here in the little chat, like, what do you think of that? How do you feel about it? My feelings aren't hurt about it. And, you know, because Oba says, hey, you know, I'm always going to get a title shot down the road. But that then begs the question, does he? Because, again, the winner of the King and Queen of the Ring, King and Queen of the Ring, technically the stipulation is you get the title shot at SummerSlam. So after Oba's match with Brock at SummerSlam, is he going to approach Adam Pearce and say, okay, I'm ready for my title shot? And does Adam Pearce look at him and say, well, sorry, kid, your shot was at SummerSlam, but you chose to go after Brock, so now you no longer have a title shot. So now Oba's got to do what? It's either he's going to have to win Royal Rumble. He already won King of the Ring. He's going to have to go and win the Royal Rumble to get a title shot. Or he's going to have to win Money in the Bank. So it'll be fun to see how they let that roll out, how that plays out. And then I thought the good part in this whole thing, reason I bring that up, is Brock and Paul saying, you know, you're pretty stupid because you came after us. You're obsessed with us. So you came after us instead of going to get in a title shot, which was dumb of you. And it's absolutely 100% true. Oba's response being, well, I knew if I went after the title shot, you guys would have definitely interfered. And probably would have happened. And I'm actually very surprised that didn't happen in the King of the Ring. That was always a speculation all along, was that Brock at some point would have interfered in the King of the Ring tournament to keep him from winning. But clearly that didn't happen. So I'm just curious to see. So you guys got an opinion on that? Let me know. Jot it down here in the notes for none of you that are watching. I'm just curious what you guys feel about that. That's kind of, you know, my thing is I feel as though Oba goes over on Brock. Oba goes over on Brock and Hell in a Cell. I'm not sure if Brock retires after that or not, but, you know, and then Oba can focus on. And I kind of like Oba waiting to go after Roman or go after whoever, you know, Cody or CM Punk, whoever has the Undisputed belt. Oba and I think Money in the Bank, I think will be fun to see because, you know, it's a ladder match. And not sure if he's done one of those. I don't recall seeing him in NXT doing one of those. That would be fun to see and see what happens there. And then I really enjoyed the Roman Seth segment at the end. I thought it was good. You know, those contract signings can either the contract doesn't get signed or it's just a straight brawl right off the bat. Now I realize, you know, it ended in violence. And I thought it was cool how they went into that violence, though. And, you know, Roman, be honest, Roman whooped Seth's ass verbally and mentally. You could see Seth sitting there. Seth wasn't as typical. I'm just going to sit here and laugh. Seth looked a little bothered, especially, you know, Roman was very calm and deliberate. And at this point, I'm the only person there that probably does better promos than him is Paul Heyman. But Roman was calm and deliberate. Seth looked bothered, which is why he retaliated with the violence. You know, you really think about it. If someone's getting over on you and they are verbally just whooping your ass and destroying you, what else do you have to do? Nothing. You're going to get upset. You're going to get mad. You're going to react. You're going to slap the shit out of somebody, which is what Seth did. The other cool part, I think, about this storyline, there's so much history with Seth and Roman, is even if there wasn't a belt involved, I still think this would be a good angle and a good match. And not so much an angle, I guess, a good storyline leading into their match. Because, you know, Seth's whole thing is, I've outshined you your entire career. And Roman's comment is, yeah, maybe, but at the same time, you know, you're number two. You've always been number two. You will continue to be number two. And the only thing you're number one at is being the number one hater. And, you know, so they have their, they both have their ways of getting under each other's skin. But I think if we're going to keep score, Roman definitely won this one and definitely whooped Seth's ass along the way. But I think the best part was Roman making Seth question of whether he'll be remembered as the guy instead of the other guy. Because Roman was making it very clear that Roman was the man and he was kind of the boy. You know, he's number, you got QB1, you got QB2. And so it was good. It was really good. Well, yeah, it was really good promo for Roman. And I think the stomp at the end also gives you that, you know, a lot of times the challenger has to leave the champion laying, gives you that false sense that, you know, they actually have a chance of winning. You know, I don't know what Roman's schedule is coming up after SummerSlam, so a belt change would not surprise me. But at the same time, Roman keeping the belt, I think, makes that belt stronger. You know, Roman's still building his way back up from, you know, before. And I think if Roman holds it, then if Oba, when Oba's finally ready to get that title shot, and he goes after Roman. But Roman holds the belt, keeps winning, goes into Survivor Series, wins, goes to Royal Rumble, wins. And they could drag Oba and Roman all the way out to WrestleMania. I think it makes the belt mean more having Roman hold it, other than letting, even if they switch it to Seth right now and then Oba goes after Seth. I don't know. To me, in my mind, it doesn't have the same flair. But either way, you know, it'll be great. And then that brings us to Punk and Cody and what happens with there, because I know, you know, they're scheduled for SummerSlam. And then, so what do you guys think as far as you have Oba and Brock, you got Roman and Seth, and then you got Punk versus Cody. Which one do you think is the real main event out of those three? Personally, for me, I guess I would have to lean towards, I think night one of SummerSlam would be Cody versus Punk. Night two main event would be Roman versus Seth, only because I think there's more history there. And I think it just would be just the history side of it. I think that's going to be more personal than Cody versus Punk. And then I can honestly see, as much as I even hate to say this, I can honestly see the Hell in a Cell being the free match that they, I hate to say free, but the match they show on ESPN or ESPN2, night one or night two. Because that's going to draw people in to try and, you know, subscribe to ESPN to watch the rest of it. How you throw that in the middle of a show, I don't know. To me, kind of doesn't make sense. So we'll have to see what happens. But either way, I think they're all three of those matches are going to be great. you know, with Punk and Cody, you still have Gunther and you still have Sami Zayn lingering around. Yes, I know. I kind of was hoping Sami held on to the belt a little bit longer, but that's just me. That's because I was really enjoying Sami's character turn with the belt. I was liking, you know, I'm the last real good guy, the WWE Undisputed Champion, the last real guy. And I was loving his bits with the driving with the belt in the car, on the seat, in the convertible. I loved the swings. I thought just that stuff would have been cool. I think it was giving a whole different dynamic and dimension to Sami and his character. I was going to let it evolve. Again, he can always get it back. You know, he's a grand champion now, which is something they can never take away. And whether he held the belt for 9 days, 900 days, 90 days, 9 minutes, 9 seconds, he's still a former WWE Undisputed Champion, something I don't have. That would be great to have. And it goes back to, I talked about this on the stage side last week with Glenn. You know, Glenn held the hardcore title for, I think it was 37 or 47 seconds that he got at WrestleMania during that hardcore battle royal. But you know what, damn it? He's a hardcore champion and won it at WrestleMania. Doesn't matter if he lost it 40 seconds later. So like Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder is an Intercontinental Champion. Doesn't matter if he lost it the next night on Raw. He is still an Intercontinental Champion who won at WrestleMania. And I think winning at, you know, in a big pay-per-view, a SummerSlam, a Royal Rumble, or Survivor Series, especially WrestleMania, makes it even bigger and makes it better. Andrew, I think the real main event has to be Cody and Punk for night one and night two. Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see, and it'll be fun to watch. John Glow, Realtor, Glenn is hardcore. Glenn enjoys hardcore matches way more than I do. I am not a fan. I'll admit it. I am not a fan of being in hardcore matches. Falling on that mat and taking a Bradshaw clothesline hurts bad enough without taking a Bradshaw chair shot or getting hit with other stuff. We did a street fight one time. We had this angle we were doing on an independent show. We did a street fight, and you know, there's kendo sticks, there's street signs, there's all kinds of gimmicks. I grabbed him in a headlock, flipped him over in the middle of the ring, and he goes, "What are we doing?" I go, "We're going to sit right here. We're going to watch these two assholes beat the shit out of each other." And that's what they did. They were using light bulbs, which I think are stupid because the glass sticks in your head. It's hard to get out. They're hitting each other with street signs, chairs, kendo sticks. I mean, freaking trash cans, and they're in shopping carts. And when they got done, I grabbed him. I said, "Let's go." He goes, "What are we doing?" I said, "We're doing a tackle, drop down, hip toss, arm drag, drop kick. That's what we're doing." And that's what I did. I'm not a fan of those at all. And Pete Gasparino just joined, and he is a former hardcore champion as well. Pete, love you. I am not a fan of those. And that's all Glenn stuff. I don't want to do those at all. Speaking of shows coming up, we got some cool stuff going on this weekend. Friday night, we're in, I think it's Hagerstown, Maryland, for Adrenaline Championship Wrestling. ACW. So if you're anywhere in that area, you can go get some tickets, come by, say hi. And then Saturday and Sunday with Maryland Championship Wrestling. And we were for MCW, Glenn and I were actually the first ever Maryland Championship Wrestling Tag Team Champions. I am one of the former heavyweight champions back in the day as well. So we're going back to some old stomping grounds this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Going to be a good time. Next week, July 23rd, Wildwoods Convention Center in Wildwood, New Jersey, with ISPW, with Tommy Fierro. Get tickets, go there. There's a meet and greet that has a whole Legends thing going on as well. So I think, just go to ISPW, Independent Superstars of Wrestling. Go there, check it out, get tickets. There's a whole bunch of good stuff going on. Make sure you check it all out. And, it's just good, good, fun stuff going on. So, yeah. So that's pretty much all I got for today. Unless anyone's got any questions or comments, concerns, I mean, concern. I don't know what the hell you'd be concerned about on this show because it's just a bunch of babbling. But yeah, so remember, you can watch this. You know, you're watching it now. Great. Go to my YouTube, watch it there. Hit that subscribe button. And, you know, anywhere else you listen to podcasts, spread the word and get it out there. You head over to chazmosh.com to grab your copy of Beneath the Skirt. And then there's other cool stuff on there, too. You know, you got these little exclusive pictures. There's some exclusive things on the website you can only get on the website that I don't take to shows to sell. And then we have new shirts for the last time at the shows coming up. And then we got the Headbangers Belt Club. That's in the works also. And yeah, so all that cool stuff. And then make sure you follow me on all social media at Chaz Mosh. You don't miss anything. And get your Once Upon a Coconut. Hold, please. Again, more stuff coming out with Fortunate. And again, if you wanted to go look at a couple of stuff that's on there on Amazon, go ahead. Andrew asks, who is your favorite opponent to have faced in your career? Well, if you go get Beneath the Skirt, you're going to be able to find that out. But it's very simple. I've answered this a bunch of times. Two favorite tag teams to work, one being the Godwins, and number two being the New Age Outlaws. Just fun, easy guys to work with and with great, you know, great chemistry with. Anything else? No? All right. Hey, so listen, thanks for chiming in. And those of you that are watching after the fact, I appreciate you watching after the fact. Remember, live fortunate and do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it. I'll see you guys all next week. If you're in Baltimore this weekend, I'll see you then. And hey, mention the podcast if you see me in Baltimore, because that makes me just feel a little better if actually people watch it. All right, cool. Peace out. I'll talk to everyone later.